broadcasting. Today is July 12th, 1983, and I'm talking with Enola Mullen on a fog neck.
Hold it. We'll just leave it on the table here and forget about it. I wanted to ask you about what languages you remember hearing and speaking when you were growing up.
It's English, Russian, and Aleut. Those are three languages that I heard, you know, all the time.
What did your mom speak?
She learned all those three languages. She spoke all three. Mm-hmm. And she spoke English with my father and anybody else who spoke English. And she spoke Russian to us. And then with people who spoke only Russian, she spoke Russian with them. And to speak people who spoke Aleut, she spoke Aleut to them. So she knew all the three languages, you know, perfectly. That is, mm-hmm. as perfect as one could pick up there.
That's amazing, because so few people know them now.
What's that?
So few people in the villages now know Aleut anymore.
No, not the younger ones. They just don't seem to know either Aleut or Russian. Mm-hmm. Just English.
Mm-hmm. And you said there were a lot of differences in the Russian that you've seen in Russian books and the Russian that you spoke.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We mispronounced a lot of words. So whether it was originally that way or what, you know, when the Russian men first came, or if it just got, you know, changed from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. I imagine it got changed because the Aleuts, I noticed, you know, in recent years, do not pronounce Russian correctly. So at that time, when they heard Russian first, they mispronounced it, then handed down to their children that same way, and that's how we got the, mm-hmm. the wrong pronunciation.
Maybe it's not wrong, though. Maybe it's good for you,
right? Though it wasn't terribly bad, you know. It was just a few letters, like the V and the W. And, I noticed the word son in a book was S-O-L-N in Russian. But we just said son, you know. We didn't say the L in it. So the natives, when they first heard that, to them, they didn't hear the L part, maybe. They just said son, sonca. Mm-hmm. But it's sonca. It has an L on it. And I guess the Russians do pronounce it there in Russia, yeah, as it's written. So I don't know if, you know, any Russians who were born in Russia, except I knew some priests.
Oh,
and
okay.
That came, you know, to a fog neck. They were right from Russia, and we always spoke together in Russian.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And, well, I studied from one of the priests, too, studied Russian a little.
Oh, really?
Not very much, but one winter. I was teaching school there, and then we'd stop by in his house and have mm-hmm. some Russian lessons. And several of the school children stopped in there at the same time and took lessons from him.
Hmm. Did they have the church services in Russian then?
They did at that time, but now I think, like in Kodiak, they have it all in English.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, the singing and preaching and all that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they use any Russian at all.
I don't think they do.
I haven't been at the Russian church lately.
You were raised in the Russian church,
mm-hmm.
though?
So Mike was also, so.
Was he?
But at that time, the children, I don't know, the older people, we did not understand what was being said in church because they used the old Russian,
mm-hmm.
not the common Russian. Like when they'd read the Bible, there would be many words in it that just were new to us. We had never heard. And sometimes I'd ask the girls who sang in the choir, I'd ask them the meaning of the song they were singing. You know, I'd remember some of the words, and I asked them, what does that mean? They all said, I don't know. Like they weren't interested in the meaning of what they were singing about. Every time it was, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And here they're singing day in and day out, or Sunday after Sunday.
Was there very much of a division in a fog neck between people who spoke Russian and people who spoke Aleut, or was it just one community?
Well, they lived apart, mm-hmm. and didn't visit each other much, you know, from one end of the village to the other. Although there was some, you know, misvisiting between them, but they sort of kept apart. Like I was never in many of the houses. I never was in them. So we just didn't mix with them for some reason or other. I don't know why. Although we did go for walks to that end of the village, and there was some houses. My mother always took things to them, like food, clothing, mm-hmm. and we all went with her to those houses. But otherwise, I never went visiting to any of those houses, mm-hmm. hardly any of them, very few. And they hardly ever came to us, except on errands maybe, mm-hmm. like some of them came for something or whatever.
When you were real young, you were born in a Afagnik?
Mm-hmm.
When were you born in Leiden?
What?
When were you born?
1905.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm an old...
No. You're not. Do you remember how, what the village was like then? Like any real, what are your real early memories?
What is that?
What are your real early memories of what the village was like then?
Mm.
What it...
There was no running water.
No.
Nobody had running water. And we used kerosene lamps.
Mm-hmm.
And no, there was no electricity of any kind anywhere. No telephones. And we traveled with rowboats.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had kickers at that time, the outboard motors. But when we did get them, you know, my brothers were big enough then to run them.
Mm-hmm.
My father did some too, but not very much. And we used sails and oars when we went anywhere. Mm-hmm. And my father mentioned going even to Kodiak, sailing or rowing. And sometimes he'd be so tired by the time, you know, he got close to Kodiak, he just couldn't make it to go right to the village. He'd stop. Maybe what they call Manashka, you call it in Manashka Bay, and then he'd walk to the town.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So he was too tired, I guess, to row any longer, whatever. He'd go there to take order and something he ordered for the store. He'd take that letter to Kodiak. There was no post office in the fog like at that time, I think. So he'd take his letters and his orders to town. And I don't know how he got his freight, probably some boats brought his freight over.
Life must have been a lot harder than...
I think he started the store maybe around 1900, I'm not sure just what year.
Your father ran the store?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So. Probably around 1900 that he started the store.
How about your mom?
Our mother?
Mm-hmm.
They had schools at that time yet, I guess, when she was growing up, so she went to the school there, and probably that's where she learned English, because in their home they didn't speak English, they spoke Russian together.
Her family
my grandmother
was
and mother. Hmm?
Her family was Russian?
Part Russian, but I guess you'd call it native. They were born there and their parents were born there.
Mm-hmm.
How far back the Russians go, I don't know. No one ever mentioned in the family when the Russians first came from directly from Russia. I just don't know.
But the village of Afagnik was already there when the Russians mm. came.
Yeah, must have been. No doubt was a native village there.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things did you do with your mother when you were growing up? I know you had a large family.
Mm-hmm. just the regular housework and so forth and so on, and washtub, you know, those washboards. But she always hired a woman to come and do the, such work, you know, like washing clothes or scrubbing floors. Mm-hmm. She always had women come over to do that until we were big enough to do it ourselves. Mm-hmm. When we grew up, we did it after our mother died. She died when I was 15. So after that, we just did things ourselves. Hardly ever got anybody to help us, but she always had somebody come to help in the house. Mm-hmm. And she did a lot of sewing.
Really?
A sewing machine. And she made all our clothes. Yeah. All our dresses, coats, even overcoats. And she made clothes for the other people too. They hired her to do some weddings. For weddings, she made their wedding outfit. And she was a good baker and a good cook. So they asked her to do the baking for the wedding, besides, you know, sewing all the outfits. Usually, or some of them asked her to make 3 outfits for the wedding. One to wear to the wedding, one to wear in the evening to the dance, and another one to wear next day for visiting or calling on friends.
Weddings must have been big events.
Yeah, they were. Everybody was invited. Everybody went, men, women, and children. Everybody was there at the wedding. And she was a swaha, they call it the swaha, to many of them. It's like a matron of honor or maid of honor. What do you call them in English?
Yeah,
maid of honor.
Maid of honor.
So she was that to many.
Really, she must have been a popular person.
She was like a good cook and a good baker. Anytime we went to a party, she brought a cake. I'd hear the grown-up saying, "I want Mrs. Van Schiele's cake." She decorated them better than any others did. And she knew English, while a lot of the other women didn't know English, I guess. So I often wonder how she learned all that, you know, like cooking and baking.
Yeah, she learned it from her mother.
I don't know if it's from that or from the teachers, maybe. I think the teachers stayed at my grandmother's place when my mother was growing up. They rented a room probably in her house. And probably my mother was with them a lot, probably. And maybe it's from them she learned, I don't know. She was a good cook and good baker. She really, you know, baked good.
Do you remember any special things she used to make?
Wedding cakes, always. Uh-huh. Asked her to make a wedding cake. And I don't know. I just read a recipe not too long ago when the princess and what's her name? The Prince of England.
Oh, yeah, Princess Diane?
What's it?
Princess Diane?
Yeah, when they got married, their wedding cake. It was something like the cake my mother used to make for the weddings there. It was a dark cake with fruits and things in it. And that's what it was in that English wedding recipe. They gave the recipe in the newspaper. And I just thought of the wedding cakes my mother used to make was something like that. And she usually had the good cookbooks, so she might have gotten it from a cookbook. She had the White House cookbook. It's a big, which was used by the president's wives.
Oh, really?
There are pictures of all the president's wives in that book. And I suppose the president's also.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a well-used book. My mother always used it, you know, for recipes, and after she died, we always did.
Did she, was she artistic too? I'm wondering why you have so many artists
in
your family.
No, I don't know of anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the cake decorating, though, that's a kind of...
Yeah, she did some of that, and She would sew and feed all our clothes for me. People would ask us, you know, coats or anything, where did you order them from? And we just, you know, we wouldn't say that. Our mother made them just to let them guess, just had fun over. Mm-hmm. They said they looked at through all the catalogs and they couldn't find our coats.
You wanted to know where they could get one. Did she read to you a lot? I'm wondering about.
Mm-mm.
All it seems like your family has this real love of languages. Is that more from your father?
Some what?
Your love of languages and things like that.
Well, my father knew quite a few languages, and what?
You said he used to read to you sometimes.
Yeah, translate. In other languages, but then he'd say it in English, and he'd, you know, translated in English as he read it in the other language, he translated in English to us.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd always say that, like if he'd read a Spanish book, he'd say, their ways of speaking is so different from English that it's so much warmer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said it's kind of hard to translate it to English, because in English there's so many times there is no word that they use in other languages. Is that thing going?
I think it is. Yeah, it doesn't matter though. I don't want to pay attention to it. Yeah, I'm just, you know a lot of Russian for someone who hadn't studied it formally.
We spoke it from the time we were born, I guess. My father spoke English to us, and we spoke English to him. And our mother spoke Russian to us, and we were Russian to her. And to our grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Your grandmother was around when you were growing up,
mm-hmm,
too?
Mm-hmm. She lived a lot longer than my mother. My mother died when I was 15, and my grandmother lived on till I was teaching.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
She helped raise you, your kids, and your family?
Kind of, yeah.
Do you ever remember any stories that she used to tell you? Were there any stories in your family?
Mm-mm, nothing in particular, just no. Although at the time the U.S. bought Alaska, she remembered that day. She was, I don't know if she was in her teens or maybe younger.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
She was living in a fog neck?
They were living in Karluk at that time, and then they moved to a fog neck.
I wonder what that would have been like to remember when the U.S. bought Alaska. I had heard from people that even until the revolution in 1917, they still had Russian schools here.
Yeah. They probably did. Yeah, we never did go to those Russian schools. They taught Russian in a fog neck, in one of the church houses, I guess, or wherever. But none of us from our family ever went to those classes.
Mm-hmm.
But I know some girls from school, after school, would go to that Russian school.
Did you learned at home then?
Hmm?
Did you learn at home growing up?
I learned Russian.
Well, did you go to school or did you stay at home to learn?
You mean the regular school?
Yeah,
grade
school.
Oh, we went to school. Is that what you're asking?
Mm-hmm.
We went to school, yeah.
Well, I knew you learned from someone, but I didn't know what schools there were there.
Is that just English was taught?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Where did the teachers come from? Were they from the lower 48?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mainly?
Mm-hmm. We used to have pictures of school children, I don't know what's happened to that picture. When my mother was going to school there, she was one of the bigger ones
mm-hmm.
in that picture, and a lot of the little ones. There are several rows of children.
Mm-hmm.
She was one of the tallest in the back, and younger and younger to the front.
Mm-hmm. But there wasn't a high school.
Mm-mm, no.
Then. Was there a high school in Kodiak then, in town?
No.
No. So you had to go to Washington?
Yeah. Yeah, we all went to school in the States, and some in Washington, some Oregon. And then one sister went to school in Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
and some farther, some in New York.
That must have been sort of a shock coming from the Fogneck to go to Washington.
I didn't think so.
You didn't?
No. We read all that stuff about mm-hmm. the. I was surprised it's not bigger, the city. I had bigger ideas of a city, like when I got to Seattle. It looked to me small, you know, from what I imagined it to be. But when I see it now, it's big, it's sprawled all over, but
mm-hmm.
at that time I was surprised it's not what I thought it was.
You had a bigger dream
yeah.
of what it was like.
And then when I went to San Francisco, I thought, well, this is what I thought a city is
would look like.
Would be like.
Mm-hmm. Did you like San Francisco?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. And then you stayed on there and went to college after high school, or did you come back here for a while?
Well, we always came back in the summer and then went back to school in the for the fall and winter.
What made you want to be a teacher?
I don't know. I had that in mind from the time I was just a little kid.
Really?
I was 5 years old when I started school in the Fogneck. I always wanted to be a teacher, but the older ones, every one of them was a teacher too, all of my older sisters, and the younger ones, all except one. One worked in offices, you know, did office work all her life, but all the rest were teachers.
What do you think that, your parents expected you to do that?
No, they never mentioned that. I remember them even saying anything about having to go to school any more than the Fogneck school. When I got through there, I asked my father, you know, I told him I'd like to go to school out there, and he agreed right away, and just
mm-hmm.
there was no arguing or anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just my oldest sister and two younger sisters and the brother were getting ready to go to Sweden at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went with them as far as Seattle. I was to go to Minnesota to school there. But some friends of ours in Seattle said I could stay with them, go to school there.
Mm-hmm.
So they talked me into staying there.
So no one ever said you had to go to school? It's
no,
just
no.
Mm-mm.
I don't think any of my sisters and brothers were ever told they had to go or anything.
Mm-hmm.
We just went. We just, you know, it seemed like a school was something we just had to do. You don't think so, Tracy? And I always enjoyed school. I always used to think, oh, if I could be here, you know, going to school my whole life as walking the University of Washington, you know, from building to building and lawns and so forth. I go to the library to study. I think, oh, I sure enjoy this. I'd like to do this all the time.
Well, that's really nice. Was it a, it must have been a pretty small campus then.
Small what?
Small campus.
At the University of Washington? No, it was big.
Was it?
Many, many buildings.
Hmm. Did you have to take a lot of courses, or could you take?
No, I just went there in the summer, but the regular winter course, I went to Bellingham, to the college there.
Teachers.
Mm-hmm. At that time, it was smaller than what it is now. There are many more buildings there now connected with that college mm-hmm. than when we went to school. But there were several buildings at the time I was there, too. So we had to go from building to building for classes.
Where did you want to stay there and teach, or did you always intend to come back to Alaska to teach?
I applied in several places at first, you know, when I graduated. And I applied in Alaska at the same time, and I got the answer from Alaska first, I think, and accepted. Mm-hmm. But I kept getting answers from the other schools, and they also offered me the jobs, but I wrote to them, you know, that I already have a job.
Thank you.
But otherwise, it didn't matter to me at that time, you know, where I taught.
It didn't. Mm-hmm. Where did you go first?
Frog Neck was the first place. Then I went to Bristol Bay later on.
Oh, really?
To Billingham.
How did you like it there?
How? It was just a one-teacher school in that place. And now it's many teachers. It's grown since I was there. So they have several teachers there now. Probably high school, too.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was the only teacher.
Must have been hard.
Hmm?
That must have been hard.
Hard?
Yeah.
Well, I never thought it was hard in any of the schools where I taught by myself. I enjoyed it.
How many students would you have?
Probably around 20, maybe. I'm not sure just how many.
All different grades?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
It seems that teachers then... Do you want to go outside?
When I was just a little kid, even in the first grade.
Really?
My teacher used to leave me at her desk whenever she went out of the room. And I guess from then, maybe I just thought I'd like to be a teacher. I don't know if that really was the reason, but I always, you know, wanted to be a teacher. There were three things I wanted to be, either a teacher or a dentist or a doctor. Because I was always sorry for people who were sick or had, you know, bad teeth and were suffering from their teeth, school kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought I'm going to be a dentist or a doctor or a teacher. I chose that which took faster to get, you know, you'd have to go quite a few more years to college if you wanted to be a dentist or a doctor.
Mm-hmm. What things did you like teaching the most?
What things?
Yeah, which subjects?
Any, but I like the very beginners the best. Better than any other grade.
Children, mm-hmm. first grade?
Mm-hmm. It seemed like you could just see them learn.
Mm-hmm.
And they were eager to learn.
Were there a lot of mixtures of different people in Onofagnac when you were teaching?
A lot of them from this end had like white fathers and
mm-hmm.
Mothers were born in the fog there. And from the other town, end of town, there were mostly all the native people. There were some Russian in them too, but not as much as what were on in this one end of the village.
Mm.
And I think maybe they spoke the native language there in their homes, because quite a few, you know, weren't very good in English when they came to school.
And you weren't allowed to teach languages then, you had to teach everything in English.
Mm-hmm. You weren't allowed to speak any other language except English when you went to school. If you spoke Russian or the teacher punished you.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess some kids just enjoyed seeing somebody get punished. They'd run to the teacher when they heard somebody say a Russian word or an Aleut word. They'd run to the teacher to let them know that so-and-so was speaking Russian or Aleut. And of course the teacher would come out and punish the child that was speaking in another language. Pick a few and lay them in the shape of a flower on the beach and put a center of another shell and stem out of seaweed, leaves out of seaweed, and it looked pretty.
When did you start doing it?
After we moved here. We moved here in 1970. So every time I saw those shells, I'd bend down and pick one and fill my pockets with them. So I came home usually with filled pockets of shells. And then later started making pictures when I had enough shells picked. Made quite a few the first few years, but lately I just haven't been working on them.
You usually give them to friends or sometimes sell them?
Yeah, I do, and I've sold quite a few.
Have you? If I get one of the pictures, maybe you could name some of the shells for me, because I can't remember from what you told me yesterday. Can I bring that one?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. What did you say? You wanted the names of the shells?
Yeah. I can't remember very many. Is it?
Yes, it's a chitin shells. These are
the little blue ones?
These are chitin, all these blue ones are chitin shells.
Are they naturally blue?
They are, yeah, when you pick them. But these faded to white, so I put a little paint on them. But that's the only ones that I've ever put any paint on. All the rest are their own natural colors. And these are naturally blue when you first pick them. But in the sun and that, they fade. These are barnacle shells.
Oh, this white one.
It's not the whole barnacle. Here's a whole barnacle.
Mm-hmm.
See this white one. Mm-hmm. But these are just parts of the shells that you find, you know, broken on the beach. And
these are mussels, the dark blue.
Mm-hmm, right? Yeah, it's mussels, and then other small clam shell, and then little tiny, whatever they're called.
The snails?
Yeah, they're little tiny snail shells. Bigger than that.
Are those barnacles?
These are from a sea urchin.
This
one. I had some more. There's a little, for this very center, I have a little scallop shell in there.
Why, that's so tiny.
For the color. And a small clam shell. And these pink ones and the yellow ones. And white ones. They are little tiny clamshells.
And these flat ones you told me about?
That's a sea oyster. Rock oysters. They're fastened to a rock. But there's two parts to the shell. One shell is like this, and the other side has a little opening on it. And that's where they're fastened to the rock, where it's open and their flesh or whatever clings to the rock.
Oh, I see.
And they're very hard to take off the rock if you find them, you know, alive. Most of these are, I found on the beach, you know, as they are, not alive. These are those barnacle shells, one inside the other. I see a smaller one inside of a big one. And then for centers, I have little tiny snail shells.
Those are beautiful.
And these are just white clam shells with a row of chitons.
You don't have any on this one, but that's a...
Any what?
You don't have any Chinese hats on here, but you use those too, don't you?
Yeah, I have a lot of them. It's used that one.
Mm-hmm.
It is sort of one, yeah.
Are those limpets, is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, limpets. Yeah, here's another one. See, these two are limpets. And these are those gooseneck barnacles.
Okay.
These, and there's one more here. See, these are turned that way, and these are turned upward.
Okay.
It's the same kind of shell.
And this big one is a
scallop shell.
Good. How long would it take you to make something like this?
This took me a long time because I just work a little bit at a time. I hardly ever have time to make the whole thing at once. So I just make a little at a time, and it took me a long time. I don't know, maybe a month or more than that.
Right. That's beautiful. Did any of your children ever learn to do this from you?
One of my daughters does shell work.
Does she?
Mm-hmm. She lives in Anchorage, or near Anchorage.
Does she sell hers too, mm-hmm. or just for a house?
Yeah, she sells them. Sometimes when visitors come and see her shell work on the walls, they buy them.
Mm-hmm.
And she makes them much quicker than I do. And she doesn't make them, you know, all of these shells on them. She makes like a big spray of things, and then a flower here and there, not compact like this is. And then she put another spray, and it really looks nice the way she does it.
Did she come and visit you and learn how to do it? Was it?
She does once in a while, but she was in an accident about 2 years ago. And was unable to walk for quite a while after the accident. She broke both legs, I guess, in different places, in the different parts of the leg, broken bones and arms and wrist and collarbones, I think, and ribs, and wherever else. I don't remember now just how many breaks she had, but she just learned to walk. Not lately. She can walk, but not too good. She couldn't walk for a long time after that. And her legs got so thin, you know, from not being used. But they had her on therapy and, you know, working her legs and trying to exercise them. And the last time I saw her, that was in March, she was able to walk then. And she does that. I took her a bunch of shell pictures. I mean shells.
Oh, you guess she gets them here.
Mm-hmm.
Then.
Mm-hmm. So I've given her, you know, at different times, and she always works on them right away and makes a picture quickly.
Mm-hmm.
She can make several pictures while I'm making one.
Really? I think I asked you yesterday if you thought your family got your artistic side from your mother or your father.
I don't know if either of them were. Eunice does some painting, but not much, no, I guess. And this daughter of mine who makes shell pictures, she paints. And she does really good work in painting. But she doesn't do it much. But what she does is good. She had them displayed one time in Kodiak when she lived there. She started a clothing store, and on the walls she had her paintings. And some people from the base came into her store and asked her, you know, who did this? You know, they pointed to her pictures. She said she did. And they said, well, you're in the wrong business, running a store instead of painting.
Really?
She did real good work, and two of my boys were good in art. And one was going to school in New York, and they wrote to me and said that they would advise him to take up art for his living, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, 'cause he did good work, and so did my older boy do good work in art. When I first saw a picture he made, I thought he traced it.
Really?
I asked him, where did you trace it from, or where is the picture that you traced from? It looked so good. You know, so perfect. And he said, I didn't trace it. I said, oh, you must have.
Really?
But he showed me a little tiny picture from a, either a postcard or a book or something, and he made a big picture of it.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Was that realistic?
And, he didn't always, you know, look at a picture to make a picture. Just anything he made was good. Mm-hmm. And he did a lot of comic things, like you see in the funny books and things. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of that kind of stuff. And one time he sent a request for some song to a radio station in Kodiak to play something for him, and on that paper he must have had his drawings, because he was always drawing. So on that paper he must have had his drawings too. And I remember we had a radio on in the fog deck, and we heard the announcer saying, very good, Harry, keep up that art.
That's really nice.
So any picture I've seen of his was good. But I haven't any of them, and I haven't any of my other boys, the ones that went to school in New York. I don't have any of his drawings or anything. But I wish I had.
Those were your two sons that one...
I have another son still living in Seattle most of the time, and sometimes in Kodiak.
Oh, okay. When you were raising your kids on a fog net, when you were raising the five children from your first marriage on a fog neck, do you think you had particular expectations for them, things you wanted them to do?
No, I just... left it up to them to do what they would like to do.
I just wondered if any of them have your interest in languages and art.
None of them picked up any languages. Like at home we spoke Russian to our grandmother when they were small. They didn't pick it up for whatever reason. They didn't pick it up. Neither did they pick up any Aleut. Like we did when we were kids, whatever we heard people using whatever language, we learned it. But they didn't seem to.
Tracy's saying her mom likes languages. Does she?
She would learn Russian easily too, I think. Because your mom, her mother, so my youngest daughter, learned Russian quickly. You know, right from the beginning, I would talk Russian to her and she'd always answer me and correctly. But she always used English for answering me.
But she understood what you were saying.
Yeah, everything I said in Russian, she understood and answered, but answered me in English.
Oh.
And so she, all the words she knew, she taught her when you were small. And you learned them then, too. But do you still remember any of the Russian words?
Mm-hmm.
How do you say nose?
Oh.
How do you say eyes?
What do you mean now? Glaza? Is that the
and
word?
Glaza. Glaza.
Glaza.
The accent is on the neck and the last syllable.
Right.
Ochki is glasses?
Yeah, it's O. It begins with an O, I think.
Ochki.
Ochki. But we didn't pronounce things, you know, really correct in the fog night. We said Ochki. But I think the correct is O. Ochki.
Why do you say it was incorrect? Because it's different from standard Russian?
I mean, it's not written that way. If you see it written in, you know, in Russian, the word is O, starts with an O. Mm-hmm. But we didn't say Ochki, we said Ochki. So if we wrote it in Russian, you know, A, C-H, Ochki, it would be wrong. Mm-hmm. It should be an O. And windows are okni. Let's see, how did we say it? Okoshki.
For what was that?
It might mean little window. Such an ending on a word means something small.
that they called all windows.
And how was it? Not Achki's these glasses that you wear. Ochni, I think is correct for window. We said Akoshki. So I don't know if that would be, like, I've never looked that word up in the dictionary or something. I should look it up sometime.
Do you remember, I know people used Russian in church, but what, did people use it more in their home for familiar speaking, or were there special occasions?
For what?
For using Russian instead of English?
No, they don't use it, you know, special. Mm-hmm. Like that, like you said, like for special occasions or what, is that what you meant?
I just wondered when people would be, like when your mother used Russian versus
Aleut. She talked all the time.
Did she?
Yeah. She talked Russian to us all the time, always. She didn't speak English to us, or she didn't speak Aleut to us, though she knew those two other languages. She spoke English to those who spoke only English. Mm-hmm. And she spoke Russian to those who spoke only Russian. And she spoke Aleut to those who spoke only Aleut. But to my father, she always spoke English. And to us, she spoke Russian.
Mm-hmm. And did you speak Russian back to her?
Yeah, we always did. We never talked English to her. And we never talked Russian to our father.
Oh.
It was always English to him.
And you kept all those languages straight as a child?
Yeah. Each language separate, you know, we didn't mix the languages. But when we spoke among ourselves, it is that we kids, we just mixed everything up just for fun.
You did?
And it would always make us laugh, so
we'd
mix words together and just laugh about it, you know, have fun over it. And my brother was always imitating people. Which made us laugh a lot, too. Like some who couldn't speak English very well, he'd say it like they do, you know.
Oh, really?
And make us laugh all the more. He'd tell us all kinds of stories. He'd sit on the table sometimes to tell us all kinds of funny things.
That's amazing. You still know so much of those languages. You don't use it very much.
No, we don't. Like Mike and I don't speak Russian, just once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
He does. And when I see my sister, we talk English. Once in a while, we say a little in Russian.
Mm-hmm.
That there are some people in Kodiak that we speak Russian to, since we always spoke Russian to them. Like I have an aunt living in Kodiak, to whom we always spoke Russian, so whenever we see her, we speak Russian with her too.
Who is that?
Lucy Grigoriev. She's in her 80s now.
Oh, she was your aunt. I met her once.
She was married to my uncle. She's not a blood relation.
Mm-hmm.
She's married to my uncle, but we still call her aunt, Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't too much older than we were, so we didn't always call her Aunt Lucy. But I had my children call her Aunt Lucy, you know, always. But we ourselves just called her Lucy.
Oh.
And she went to school same time we did, and all that real.
Mm-hmm.
Used to her.
When you were growing up, because you had a large family, were there particular sisters and brothers that you were closer to?
Yes, Eunice, she was next to me. We were most always together.
You were?
But not with my older sisters. And the older sisters went out to school, you know, as soon as they were ready to go to school. When they finished the Frognack school, they went out to schools out in the States.
Mm-hmm.
And so we didn't get too close together, although we went to college together, had, you know, room together and all that.
With your older sisters?
Mm-hmm. With one of my older sisters, yeah.
But you knew Eunice the best from being...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were always,
closer together, and we always enjoyed each other, and always were laughing, saying things.
Mm-hmm.
She imitated people too, like my brother. Always said things a funny way. Mm-hmm. Even to this day, she'll talk like other people. And we, of course, we know who she's imitating, mm-hmm. and makes it all the funnier.
She better not imitate me.
Huh?
She better not imitate me.
No, she doesn't imitate the young children. It's the old, old people we knew. And she was teaching in Kodiak, and she was talking like that to some of the teachers too, just for fun, you know, like we talk together,
mm-hmm.
in a funny way. And she uses another accent, you know, like those people she's imitating, she'd speak the way, you know, use the accent they do. And the one teacher told her, you better not talk like that, otherwise people will think that's your way of talking. But she doesn't care, I guess. She's always doing that, just to make it sound funnier.
Mm-hmm. You both taught out at Sinac.
What's that?
You both taught mm-hmm. out at Sinac,
mm-hmm.
didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
But not at the same time.
No.
She...
You're going to be beautiful before she gets...
I know. She's doing quite a job here. Did you like being alone teaching out there?
Yes, I did. I enjoyed the schools where I taught alone.
Mm-hmm.
I was free then to do anything, and every time I closed school, I'd go out for a walk. Usually some of my children were with me, and we'd go out to, you know, hiking after
mm-hmm.
school. On Saturdays and Sundays, we were always out. And sometimes
nice.
Had some of the school children along with us.
Mm.
And what do you say, Tracy?
That seems nice. No teachers would do that today.
What kind of things could you do as a teacher when you had that freedom that you couldn't do in town?
Be out hiking.
Be out hiking.
Most of the time, that's what we did a lot of. But,
teaching about outdoor things?
Yeah, I did some, not terribly much, but I did some.
Mm-hmm. And did you teach everything, science, art, English?
We didn't have much science in the grade schools.
Mm-hmm.
There were no texts on it. I just used the texts that were there at the school. Mm-hmm. So at no time did they have any kind of science books for the kids. I suppose now they do have science in the smaller grades.
Mm-hmm.
Science is pretty class.
I enjoy teaching. I always enjoy teaching. I like the younger children.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did enjoy a lot of the older ones too.
The younger ones learn so easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could see them. You know, they learn very quickly.
Was Sinac a native community?
Oh, it's a mixed community. There are no real pure natives.
Mm-hmm.
They're all a mixture of, like, a lot of them are half Swedish, half Norwegian, half German, some of them. So it's
Did they speak different languages too, or did...
No, they just spoke English, and native. Some of the older people spoke the native language.
Was it the
but
same alleys?
It was altogether different from the native here.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't understand any of their words. They were
really?
Completely different, it seemed like.
Hmm.
So I didn't learn any of their language there. None of them spoke to each other in that language that I know of,
mm-hmm.
but they knew it.
Mm-hmm.
The older ones probably used it when their parents were living,
mm-hmm.
but they don't now. They weren't speaking it to their children.
How long did you teach there?
I taught there 2 years.
And then you went to Dillingham?
I was there first I taught in the Fognak, and then I taught in Dillingham, then in Sanac. And then I taught in Port Graham, too.
Oh, that's right, you said that. Mm-hmm. What was that like at that time?
The children had a hard time with English, I think. Most of them, or all of them, I think, spoke the native language in Port Graham at that time. So I had a hard time, you know, making them talk English. They just wouldn't answer so many times. Just, I don't know if they were unable to say it in English or what. When they spoke among each other, Aleut, I understood them.
It was similar to
the
Aleut?
Yeah, it was the same as up here. So I always knew what they were saying in Aleut. But in English, I had a hard time making them answer, you know, if I have a class, you know, and ask them some questions, nobody would answer. Mm-hmm. So I'd write the questions on the board and have them write on paper. I don't know if they were, you know, kind of shy in using English or what, I don't know. And the teacher that was there before me said the same thing. She just couldn't get them to talk English.
And that's what you were supposed to be teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
But you understood.
I understood them, yeah. But I couldn't talk it back to them. I don't talk it very well.
Mm-hmm.
I could say, you know, some words separately.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a hard time in conversing in Aleut.
That must have been frustrating to understand what they were saying and not be able to talk.
So to me, it wasn't so bad. I'd imagined to the other teacher it was hard.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't understand the thing they were saying, you know, among themselves. She asked me, I met her several years later. We happened to be on the same bus.
Really?
Somehow started talking. So I taught in Port Graham and she taught there too, so we, you know, we were talking. She asked me some words that she'd hear them saying. Shishka was one of them, and she said, what is shishka? Because those kids were always using that word, shishka.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you fix your hair this way, and, you know.
Oh, like a bun?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's
really?
A shishka.
Really?
That's the way she had her hair. So they had a name for her. They called her shishka. When they talked to each other. And I remember they did that, you know, when they talked about me among themselves, they
mm-hmm.
called me Shishka too, because I had my hair fixed up that way.
Did you?
I had longer hair that way, and I had it in a Shishka back then. It used to kind of make me smile when I'd hear them, you know,
mm-hmm.
talk about me.
I wonder if they knew how much you understood.
They didn't know at all, I don't think.
I wonder, what made you go to so many communities to teach?
Just that I was offered those, you know, from the Bureau of Education in Juneau. I just wrote to them, you know, sent in an application for a school. I may not have mentioned, you know, which school I might have, but they gave me wherever there was a vacancy.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't mind, you know, going just any old place.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to have gone to many schools, you know, to many places. Just a year in each one so I'd get more acquainted with Alaska.
Have that experience.
But I didn't teach so terribly long. My father asked me to take care of the store when he went to Sweden, so that was the last of my teaching. I didn't teach again after that, so I just kept working in the store until his death, and then I started the store in Port Lines.
Oh, I see. Did you like doing that work?
Yeah, I liked the store work. We had always helped our father from the time we were small.
Mm-hmm.
Helped him with some of the bookwork and some of the bills. He had just great big books, whatever you call them. There are books about this thick and about this long, that wide. I saw some in some offices in Seattle, made me think, no, my father's got the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Where you paste bills into like from one company, they're all together.
Mm-hmm.
Then you turn over some leaves and you have another company's all the invoices. You place the older ones and newer ones, you keep them in order. So we helped him with that. Sometimes he'd bring that big book home and then all the bills and for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
We always enjoyed doing any of the store work and then keeping track of books in the store. We just did it. And then when I started, I just looked at the books to see how my father, you know, did all the business, and I could do it.
But you've worked your whole life, really,
mm-hmm.
different things. How old were you when you first got married and all that?
When I first got married, yeah. I was in my 20s, 24 or so.
Mm-hmm. Did you meet your first husband on a five man?
No, we were in Bristol Bay, where I was teaching school there in Dillingham. They called it Snag Point, that little village where I was. But now I think they call it Dillingham,
mm-hmm.
that same community.
Mm-hmm. And then did you move back to a fog net?
Mm-hmm.
Together. And you had five children from that first marriage,
mm-hmm.
and then met Mike.
And just one with...